Welcome to the Sports Report Podcast with Ben, Ricky, and Jalen. We cover trending and popular topics surrounding the world of professional and on-campus sports. With each of us having a unique sports background, we give different perspectives and insight on the current climate of sports news. And now, here are your hosts.
Welcome back to the Sports Report Pod. Classes in session. I'm Ben, along with Jalen and Ricky. And today we're going to be focusing on NFL free agency. So we're going to start with the Raiders. Jalen, what have you thought of their offseason so far?
Yeah, I think the Raiders have had a pretty above average offseason, which is a nice breath of fresh air from my end. Quarterback situation, we addressed it. We went out and got Gardner Minshew. I personally am a huge fan of this move. I think we finally have a reliable game manager who's going to be able to get the ball to Davante Adams more than three times a game. I think the biggest thing with AOC last year was his arm strength was really good, but just his deep ball accuracy and overall footwork and consistency wasn't really there yet. He's a really good backup, and I think he's actually going to keep developing really well behind Gardner Minshew because I feel like the two of them have similarities in a lot of ways. But Minshew is perfect. It's a guy who's dynamic, who can extend plays a little bit more, which is something we haven't had in God knows how many years. With Derek Carr in the back end of his career, the injuries, the biggest thing for me with Derek Carr at the back end of his career was after his injuries, it was so hard for him to extend plays on third down. It was either first read wasn't there, second read wasn't there, fourth down's coming. There was no possibility of a play getting made after it was going to break down. I think with Minshew and the weapons that we have now on offense, we're going to have a little bit more stability and a little bit more of a chance to compete throughout the whole season. With the Josh Jacobs situation, and I know Ben's going to talk a lot about this because Josh Jacobs is the newest Packer, I don't mind that either just because last year, availability is the best ability. And when you play half the season, no matter how talented you are, it's just hard to get on board with your production. And in Josh Jacobs' absence in a lot of the games last season, Zamir White and Amir Abdullah had chances to break out, and they looked very good when they were given the opportunity. I think them as the 1-2 punch, with Amir Abdullah catching a lot of passes too, Gardner Minshew likes to check it down a lot, gives another offensive threat. And I really do think Zamir White is going to just get better and better, not just throughout the years, but like as the season goes on, he's gonna get better.
And moving to their defense, what'd you think of getting Christian Wilkins on a 4-year, $110 million deal?
It's a lot of money, but we're in Vegas now. Look, we got all the money to throw. But no, in all seriousness, it bolsters that D line, which struggled last year because teams were doubling Crosby literally every single play. He was still wreaking havoc and getting a lot of QB pressures, but his sack numbers were down. I think Wilkins adds kind of that dynamic that we thought was going to play out when they went and got Chandler Jones. And then obviously that whole ordeal with Chandler Jones happened. But this is a big move for their defense. The defense that was extremely good under Antonio Pierce. And now with Antonio Pierce as the head coach, I think that defense is going to have even more identity, which will be good.
Yeah, I think both of those moves were pretty good. Minshew will kind of be your bridge quarterback until you find the franchise guy. Wilkins should unlock more of Crosby and the defense as a whole. Moving on to the Seahawks, Ricky, how do you feel they've traded for Sam Howell and made a couple other moves? They re-signed Leonard Williams. What are you thinking about offseason?
I really enjoyed I like the offseason, the moves that we're making. We're not making too many moves, but we're just keeping it intact and strong. I really like the Leonard Williams re-sign. Our pass rush is going to be insane, but I think we are lacking secondary. We lost Jamal Adams and Quandre Diggs, but we do have Tariq Cohen and Witherspoon, and we also signed a couple cornerbacks, like Artie Burns, who was re-signed, and then Rashawn Jenkins. Other than that, I really like the Noah Fant re-sign. I think he's going to come around this year. Sam Howell, too. A lot of my friends said they didn't like that trade. They wanted to try to trade for Justin Fields, but I personally like it. We re-signed Geno. We know he's going to be the first string quarterback, so having a good backup like Sam Howell, that got productive minutes last year and was a starting quarterback himself last year is going to be good for just in case Geno doesn't do well or if he gets injured or whatever. But overall, I like it. It's nothing too crazy, but I'm liking where it's heading. We're heading in the right direction.
Yeah, I think re-signing Leonard Williams was definitely essential. He's the star pass rusher, and you traded a lot for him at the deadline. It was a second-round pick, and then I think like a fifth or a sixth or something. Yeah. So you weren't doing it for a rental because you guys weren't a Super Bowl contender, so it was a must to re-sign him. And then, yeah, I like the Sam Howell trade too. I think he's a good backup for Geno, and Geno had some moments last year where he was struggling, so if he does that again, you have a guy that could step in and play competent at quarterback. We're going to move on to the Packers now. Packers have made a couple big signings. They got Xavier McKinney at safety on a four-year deal for $68 million. So it's a lot of money, but he's only 24. He's held the highest pass coverage grade since he entered the league at safety. And that's up 30 points over Darnell Savage at safety, who they let walk. So I think that's a huge upgrade for the defense. We have a new defensive coordinator, Jeff Hafley. He's much more aggressive. And McKinney was our new pass game coordinator was his defensive back coach at Alabama. So he was a big part of why he signed with Green Bay. He'll help the defense a lot. Safety is a position we've needed for years. We now fill it with one of the best in the league. And then we moved on from Aaron Jones and signed Josh Jacobs. Aaron Jones was a great locker room guy and huge leader, big on our run last year. But he's 30. He's an injury-prone running back. You kind of got to move on from guys like that, even if it's a year early. Josh Jacobs is 4 years younger. We signed him to a four-year, $48 million deal. He's been productive when he plays. Last year he sat out for a little bit, but I think he'll be productive for Green Bay. We have a better offensive line. He's made the most missed tackles in the NFL since 2021. So that'll be good for Jordan Love. He's good as a receiver and a rusher, take pressure off of him. So I think overall Green Bay's offseason's been pretty good. They have a lot of draft picks too, so I think it'll be kind of telling what they do in the draft. I think it'll be more defense heavy because the offense was pretty good last year. But I'm excited. I think they've done a good job. We got Keyshawn Nixon back, the all-pro returner. So I've been happy with the offseason so far. So it sounds like all of us appreciate what our teams have done.
Yes.
Definitely.
How rare is that, huh?
I know. Yeah,
no, especially with our three teams, too.
Yeah.
There's always something going on, something bad happening. But, yeah, this year it seemed good. I think it has to do a lot with just all the free agents. Like, it's so many free agents this year. I don't know if it's just – It hasn't been like this in a while, at least from my perspective. So it's a lot going on, but it is interesting.
I also think teams are a little bit quicker to release guys now, instead of waiting till the very end of their contracts. We saw with the Bills getting rid of Tre'Davious White and
Jordan
Poirier.
They got rid of like half their roster
in the same
year,
right?
All pros.
Exactly. And it's like, and it's not like one this year, one next year. It's all, we're just going to do it all right now. Things move so fast now, in the sports world. But like you said, Ricky, there's just so much talent right now on the market. It's like, you know, all these guys are finding homes, and it's almost like it's just kind of, especially with the running backs that we'll go into in a little bit, but it's like one leaves and the team's going to pick up another one, and it's just a rotation of the running backs on each team. I'm going to have such a hard time knowing who's on what team now. I'm going to be like, when does this guy end up on the, you know what I mean?
It's going to be difficult.
Well, let's get into the running backs right now.
Let's do
it. So we talked about Jacobs. I'll go through all of them. Jacobs went from the Raiders to the Packers. Saquon Barkley went from the Giants to the Eagles. DeAndre Swift went from the Eagles to the Bears. Tony Pollard went from the Cowboys to the Titans. Devin Singletary went from the Texans to the Giants. Derrick Henry from Tennessee to Baltimore. Antonio Gibson from Washington to New England. Austin Eckler from the Chargers to Washington. DJ Dallas from Seattle to Arizona. Zach Moss from Indianapolis to Cincinnati, Aaron Jones from Green Bay to Minnesota, Gus Edwards from Baltimore to the Chargers, and that's it for running backs that have moved.
That's
a lot
it.
So far.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
it.
That's it. This is just a few.
Just a minute and a half.
So who stands out of those moves so far for you, Jalen?
So one thing before I go into the names that stood out was in division. I feel like a lot of guys, like with Saquon and Aaron Jones, those two examples, but
DJ Dallas too.
Yeah, yeah. they're staying in the division, which is so weird for me as a baseball fan. I've been watching baseball my whole life. You never make trades. Free agency is different, but you never make trades within your division, just because you never want, you know, to come back and bite you in the ass when you're playing 19 games against the same team over and over. But yeah, like that's kind of a new thing that I've been catching on with football is like, look, your schedule's, you know, 17 games and who you play is who you play. It's all about just who's going to be on your roster. So it's crazy to me how teams just end up on a team that you're playing against for two games a year, every year. But it also, to me, it makes sense because if you're the other front office, you're getting to see this guy two times a year, every year. You don't need to be a football genius to know that Saquon Barkley with the Eagles O-line is going to be a menace. In terms of names, yeah, Saquon Barkley stands out. I think he adds another aspect, another layer of that already. He adds another layer to the already dangerous ground game that the Eagles have. And the physicality, I feel like the Eagles, more so than any other team, like pride themselves on just how physical they are with the QB sneak and how unstoppable they are on short yardage downs. So I'm excited to see Saquon perform with Jalen Hurts in the backfield. Other than that, I think Gus Edwards, I think, too, for the Chargers is going to be good for them.
Cheap deal.
Yes, cheap deal. They lose out on Eckler. Going back to what I said earlier, Eckler didn't play that much.
And when he did, he wasn't very productive for them last year.
A huge step down from when he set all those records in 2021 or 2, I believe it was.
One of those
that
years.
That time when he was clearly the number one, at least fantasy running back. He was just putting up so many yards. Alongside Justin Herbert and that new-look Chargers front office, too. It'll be fun.
Ricky, you brought it up off-air. Jason Kelce retiring. Do you think that will play into how Saquon performs, or do you think the rest of their offensive line is strong enough?
That's a tricky one because Jason Kelce's been there for so long, so it's kind of difficult to have that variable, especially because now I don't know if Jalen Hurts can have the same stance that he's been having, or is he gonna have to change his stance up? That comes in a part of play too. All that comes into play. I'm pretty sure they'll be fine as far as running the ball with Saquon or running with the running back. The tush push might be a different story. I'm not sure. We're gonna have to see. They might not even run that next year, or they might do something.
Might get banned.
Yeah,
still.
It might get banned too.
It's just ridiculous.
But I think it's definitely gonna be. We're going to see a change for sure in the run blocking and pass blocking just because how much of Jason Kelce was a factor in their system. He's a great player. So,
yeah, definitely. And are there any running back signings that stood out to you?
Yeah, it's a lot, really overwhelming, but the most excited one I want to see is the Derrick Henry and the Lamar Jackson combination. Ooh. It's going to be – on paper, it's scary, but as we said off camera, we're not sure. But that's a big one for me. The most effective one, I think, is going to be the Saquon trade to the Eagles. He's going to be out for blood this year, especially playing the Giants twice. Those are going to be two games that I'm going to watch for sure. I'm going to tune into. Other than that, I mean, the Austin Eckler to the Commanders. I don't know how that's going to work. I mean, do they have an offensive line?
They don't have much.
Yeah, so, I mean.
It's a lot of unknowns over there right now. Yeah. So they don't even know who's going to be starting at quarterback right now. So.
Yeah, it's a
in
lot
in that division,
on.
Too.
Yeah, that it's going to be tough for them to make a push with how strong the Cowboys and the Eagles. And I don't know if the Giants are going to be good. They might be the same level as the Commanders. But, yeah, other than that, it's a lot of overwhelming stuff. But the Derrick Henry trade and the Saquon, I think, are the top to look at.
Totally forgot about Mixon, too.
I was about to bring it up. Yeah, I forgot because he's not on the free agency list. He was at trade.
Yeah, acquired by trade.
So I actually think Zach Moss was a good signing for the Bengals because he was very good when Jonathan Taylor was out last year for the Colts. And they get cheaper by trading away Mixon, so that's helpful for them. But I think Mixon really stands out. Houston wanted a young weapon for, well, he's not, Mixon's more of a vet. wanted a weapon for Stroud at running back, and Mixon can receive. He could rush. They just extended him 3 years, $27 million, which is about the going rate for all these running backs, very similar contracts. I think he's going to be really good for them. I think they've kind of needed that veteran on their offense, and I think it'll unlock them. I think they'll be one of the contenders in the AFC this year. But now that we've gone over the running backs, we'll move into the teams that have stood out. So we'll start with the Falcons. And Ricky, what have you thought about their offseason? Of course, they signed Kirk Cousins as the headline.
Yeah, I really like the move they made for Kirk Cousins. I also talked to a couple of Atlanta Falcons fans. They were iffy about it. They really wanted Justin Fields, too. Everybody's wanted Justin Fields, or all the teams that are looking to make that playoff push. But honestly, do like Kirk Cousins. I mean, he's going to win you games. He's a proven quarterback in the NFL. And I think he's going to work very good with the young core that the Falcons have. The signing of Darnell Mooney also helps. And, I mean, they're overall, I think last year they were solid. They were just missing the QB. That was like the missing piece. Maybe filling some stuff on defense. I wasn't really paying attention to their defense last year, but
they have some solid players on defense. Yeah. Jesse Bates is their top safety.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Jesse Bates is pretty good. I think they have a corner too that's pretty good. I forgot.
Oh, I know you're talking about young guy.
Yeah. He's pretty good.
I'll pull it up.
Yeah, I forgot his name, but
this is bad on us, but
nah. But overall, I really do like the Falcons. The Falcons move. It's really if Kirk Cousins is able to play to his, you know, standard and stay healthy, then they're going to make a good push for sure.
Yeah, you always worry when a guy suffers a non-contact injury like that, especially after playing so many years in the NFL like Kirk has. But Kirk in the A, baby, he's going to go crazy. I think that's a perfect signing for them. I think they needed stability. They went through three quarterbacks last year over the course of the season, and when that happens, it's just like chaos in that QB room. But they pick up Rondale Moore via trade after getting rid of Desmond Ridder today. Just going back to what I was saying earlier, the unknown is his health and whether he will look the same as if he did with the Vikings in Atlanta. But even if you get, you know, 75% of the production that he was doing, that he was getting with Minnesota, I think that's still a huge win with the Falcons, especially with that division being in the state that it is. Tampa Bay re-signed Baker Mayfield to a 3-year, $100 million deal too. So they're looking to defend their division champion status. But with the Falcons getting Kirk, I feel like now they're established as one of the top two teams in that division. Because last year, going into around this time last year, it was like that division's wide open because everyone was of equal midness. But now you have two teams who are, you know, going to compete not only against each other, but throughout the whole season for that number one spot.
Yeah, so A.J. Terrell was the corner we were thinking of.
Yes.
But, yeah, I like the signing. I think it was a little bit of an overpay. $180 million for 4 years is a lot to give a quarterback of Cousins' age. But they needed it, so they were fine overpaying, I think. But I think, like you said, they're going to be very competitive. They now have Drake London, Darnell Mooney, Rondale Moore, and Ray McCloud as their receivers. Kyle Pitts, a tight end.
Finally, we get to see Kyle Pitts catch the ball.
Yeah.
I hope so.
And then Bijan Robinson, Tyler Algier at running back. So yeah, their offense is pretty loaded. They have some solid offensive linemen, too. And their defense has some talented players. So I think it'll be between them and Tampa Bay. It'll be a good division fight this year. Last year was close, but it was like it was all mid-teams, like you were saying. Yeah. Now it's going to be two good teams.
And it was like, I feel like except for the Buccaneers, it was the Saints, right? The Falcons, even if they did get to that point, they won a couple more games. If they had won a couple more games, excuse me. You didn't really feel like they were going to win a game in the playoffs just because of the lack of role establishment within their offense. It almost feels like now with, you know, Tampa Bay proving that they can go in and with their head coaching they can go win a game in the playoffs, you feel like this Falcons team can also be a threat if they were able to sneak into.
Yeah, and that'll be a good fight because Tampa Bay, they just beat the reigning NFC champions.
Yes.
When they played, they upset the Eagles in their playoff game.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's not like it's going to be an easy fight for the Falcons, but they're definitely in position to go for it. And with their whoever they draft to, that'll definitely help them out. Now we'll move on to the Texans, and we'll start with you, Jalen. So last year, C.J. Stroud leads them on a great season in his first year. And they just have a really young roster, and now they're starting to add some veteran talent. We talked about Joe Mixon. What do you think about their offseason?
I would love to get your guys' input on this take, but I do think the Texans have had the best offseason so far. With C.J. Stroud going into a sophomore year, you'll always, for me, when I'm always assessing rookies who break out like that in any sport, you're always a little bit more wary about sophomore slump because of the expectations, right? Because of the target on this guy's back. He's a young guy. Hey, we can't let this second-year guy cook us right now, right? But C.J. Stroud is a little bit of an anomaly. The talent that he displayed last year, going out and winning a playoff game and then being competitive in that other playoff game, it's like, okay, with forgive me if I'm forgetting his name. Is it DeMarco, the head coach? D'Amico Ryan. Yes. They have a established culture, and with Stroud, I think he's gonna get better too. And yeah, like you said, surrounding him with Mixon is gonna give him more options to pass out of the backfield. One thing about the Texans' moves that I think makes them stand out is the context of what they did a year before. When teams overperform like that, because I feel like us three, we didn't have any idea the Texans were going to go out and do that in the playoffs. The front office did such a great job of backing that up and doubling down and saying, hey, no, that wasn't a fluke season. Like, we're here to stay in the AFC, excuse me, for a while. And you see a lot of teams in every sport, like, they have years like that, and then they're passive in the offseason, and that kind of window that everyone talks about, that championship window, is always squandered. But they did a really good job of going out and making moves they needed to make. They added Daniel Hunter on the edge, who's going to complement Will Anderson in his sophomore year as well. So it's a good mix of youth and established guys in their prime, not even necessarily veterans. Like, these guys are ready to win now, who maybe haven't had an opportunity to go into a really deep playoff run. So I think the Texans have done a fantastic job, and right now I think they sit at number one.
Yeah, that's a really good point as far as you saying, like, overperforming. Before last year, and we didn't know that C.J. Stroud was going to do this good, we could have said the Falcons were, like, on the same level. Like,
exactly.
Just, like, these teams that are mid-pushing to get a playoff push, I would have put the Texans in that category, or even maybe even a little bit lower, just because how they performed the year before. Now that we see C.J. Stroud is that guy, and their offense is able to click, and they're going to be able to score on everybody, I like how they're picking up a lot of defensive players. They have seven or eight defensive players this offseason, which is great. And D'Amico Ryans is a former defensive coordinator, so that's probably interest him a lot. The Texans are definitely going to be strong, and C.J. Stroud's going to keep getting better. Joe Mixon is going to help C.J. Stroud as well on offense. They're going to be good. I agree with what Jalen was saying about all that.
Yeah, I think they're one of the biggest winners. Danielle Hunter is going to be huge for them. 2 years, $49 million for him. It's a big contract, but he's a star pass rusher, and it's not a long-term deal.
Exactly. The window, right, I was talking about.
Yeah, that's his prime, like the end of his prime. And then after that, if he's still producing, you pay him again. If he's not, you can let him go.
Perfect.
And I think that's also lined up when Will Anderson and C.J. Stroud will be getting their new contracts. So it's the perfect time to pay a guy like that. Yeah. I think, like we've said, the veteran talent they're adding around their young stars is really going to help next year. I think their free agency is going to have the most impact of all the teams. Because, like, we'll talk about the Titans in a little bit. They've done a lot, but they're not ready to win. The Texans are ready to win. They're going to be up there with the Chiefs now.
Right. They made the most of that opportunity that they were given because of their performance in the playoffs last year.
So I'm really happy with their offseason and looking forward to seeing how that works.
AFC is going to be crazy next year.
There's so many good teams.
It's going to be like the West in the NBA this year.
Yeah.
I've been looking at it. There's so many franchise quarterbacks in the AFC.
In every division, so good. Oh.
Speaking of the AFC, we're going to keep talking about them. We got the Jaguars now. We'll start with Ricky. What are your thoughts on the Jaguars offseason so far?
The biggest signing that stood out to me was Mac Jones. I just, when I see Mac Jones' name, I just remember the Jaguars and the Cincinnati Bengals playing that game last year. It was like one of the most important games for both teams. And Trevor Lawrence goes out with that knee injury. And I forgot the second string quarterback for the Jags last year. But they were showing him, and he was looking incredibly scary. He had to go out and win that game in overtime. And it just wasn't panning out. So I'm good they got a second string quarterback like a Mac Jones. That's going to help for sure, especially if Trevor Lawrence is getting injured as much as he is last year.
QB depth is so much more important now because of what happened with Brock Purdy, dude. It's crazy how many good QBs, arguably top 32 QBs, you know, who shouldn't be behind anybody, are now becoming backups for contending teams, because you would almost rather be in that QB room waiting for your time to get out on the field for a contending team than be a starter for the 30th best team in the NFL. Kind of cycling back to my Raiders, I've been saying this for years, ever since Gardner Minshew was with the Jaguars. Gardner Minshew is a top 32 quarterback. Like, he's not better than, you know what I mean, the starting quarterback for every 32 teams. So now I get to see it firsthand, too, with the Raiders, so that'd be nice. But going back to the Jaguars situation, it is nice for them to get a little bit of security, especially after what happened with Trevor Lawrence last year. And we saw how that ended up for the Jaguars, just heartbreak at the end of the year.
Yeah, so I think you were thinking of C.J. Beathard.
C.J. Beathard, yes.
Yeah.
They showed him throwing after Trevor Lawrence went down with the knee injury, and I was like, oh, yeah, they're done. But Jake Browning was also starting for Joe.
Yeah.
So
that was after Burrow's
injury. It was like backup versus backup. But it was a good game. It was a good overtime
game. Jake Browning, Bay Area represent.
Yeah, I think the Mac Jones trade is good. Patriots wanted to completely reset with their new coach now, and they're probably going to draft a quarterback at 3. And Mac Jones and Trevor Lawrence were the same draft class. Now they have two of the first-round quarterbacks. So
didn't even think about that.
It's good. That's injury crazy. Assurance for Lawrence, for sure. Lawrence is definitely the franchise guy. There's no chance Jones is getting the starting spot over him. Yeah. But it's always good to have a backup. So they signed Gabe Davis to a 3-year, $39 million deal. They also signed the top center on the market. They've done a lot of low-key moves. And then their biggest move, I would say, is adding Eric Armstead today, defensive lineman, 3 years, $51 million. I think their offseason's been good overall, but losing Calvin Ridley is definitely tough. We're going to talk about Titans in a little bit. Now I think wide receiver is probably their biggest need. Even with Gabe Davis, they have like Zay Jones, but they don't have that true number one. And Ridley showed at times last year he could be that when he was getting the targets.
I think the rationale behind that receiving core is they still have Evan Ingram, who did really well at the end of the year last year. And that Gabe Davis 3-year, $39 million contract is more of a what can you do for me payment, as opposed to like a what have you done before thing. A lot of guys, you know, they get a lot of money because they've put up stats, and you know what I mean? You can't not pay a guy like that. With Gabe Davis, it's like, okay, look, we're going to bring you in because we need you to replace the production that we got from Calvin Ridley, like you were saying. So a couple new faces, but overall I think a very, very, very intriguing team.
Yeah, Travis Etienne is also a good pass catcher in the backfield.
That's
and they
true.
Use him
yeah.
a lot. They utilize him a lot. So
and Lawrence loves to throw the running back.
Yeah.
So do you think they're going to feature Ingram and Etienne, or do you think they're going to try and draft or trade for a wide receiver one?
I think they're going to just play with them because they just signed Gabe Davis. I feel like if they would trade or try to sign somebody else, they wouldn't have got Gabe Davis. But Gabe Davis is a solid. Like he's solid.
He's not a wide receiver one right now.
He's not a wide receiver one, but
everyone thought he would be by now.
Yeah,
he had that one crazy playoff game.
Yeah, after the playoffs, everyone hopped on the Gabe Davis train.
Hey, maybe he's back this year. I don't know.
We'll have to see. He'll definitely get more targets this year.
Yeah. And this is usually a spot when guys like that bounce back, right? They go to a new team after people kind of forget about the crazy expectations they've had a couple years ago. All of a sudden, they're back.
True. Well, now we'll move on to the team that stole Calvin Ridley, and it was kind of unexpected, the Tennessee Titans. They signed him for 4 years, $92 million, and they've made a bunch of other moves. We mentioned Tony Pollard. Jalen, what do you think of the moves the Titans have done so far?
like you were saying earlier, when comparing them to their AFC South counterparts in the Texans, it's just the timing for them is maybe just like a year and a half, maybe 2 years too early, with Will Levis going into his second year. He hasn't necessarily established. His rookie campaign was great in terms of the situation that he was thrown into and that game that he had against the Dolphins and showing everyone that he belongs. But it wasn't necessarily a breakout campaign like Jordan Love or CJ Stroud. So with that, the direction that they've taken in the offseason to kind of buy into that, look, we're going to try to win this year, I really like, because I like when teams pick a direction. I know we've talked about that a ton on this show before. But yeah, signing Calvin Ridley is gonna be really good for their otherwise below average kind of weaponry. And Tony Pollard too, like you said, adds another dynamic weapon for Levis in the backfield.
Yeah, I think this team just relies on how well Levis is gonna play this year. They brought in good offensive weapons, as we talked about, Calvin Ridley. They got Tony Pollard, which is another big weapon, but overall, it just bases off Will Levis's play. Tennessee's one of those like in-between teams that we've been talking about before, like, you know, the Falcons and the teams that are pushing to get to playoff contentions. But yeah, they're just as whatever Will Levis does is how far they're gonna go.
Yeah, I kind of like what they've done. Pollard and Ridley added to Hopkins, Treylon Burks, and then Okonkwo at tight end. They also have Tajay Spears as their second running back. So they have all the weapons in place for a quarterback. So you give Will Levis one more year. He was, I think, a second or third round pick last year. If he doesn't pan out, all you need is the quarterback. It's kind of what the Falcons have been doing. They've set up a team, and now they got Kirk. They got their quarterback. So that's kind of what I see the Titans doing. If Levis has a breakout year and pans out, good, that's your guy. If not, then next offseason you're trading for a guy, you're signing a guy, you're drafting a new guy. They have a good defense, too. They have Jeffrey Simmons. They added Kenneth Murray, who was a former first-round pick from the Chargers. So I think they're in a good spot. I like what they've done overall in the offseason.
Yeah, when you were reading off their weaponry there with Hopkins and the rest of those guys, I was just thinking, like, if that was their room alone going into the year, we're not even talking about them, right? You almost forget that DeAndre Hopkins is in the league still. They add Calvin Ridley, all of a sudden, oh my God, like, this team might be pretty good. That's like the perfect kind of balance what they needed to push them over the edge of being on the other side of mediocrity. And like Ricky was saying, Will Levis is going to be that spark plug. It's going to make him go, or it's going to make him not go.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun. There's so much young talent. I like the youth in the NFL right now is what really sticks out. So many guys who are unproven and have a chance to break out. Makes for a fun year.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to watch the Titans because they're going to have to change their whole offensive scheme up. I mean, having Derrick Henry there, it was straight inside zone, a lot of play action.
25 carries.
Yeah, they might. I think they're going to – it's going to – Tony Pollard and Tajay Spears is going to open a lot for them. I don't really see them running a lot down the middle. I mean, Tony Pollard is – he could do that, but he's also very good in the pass catching, and I feel like – that's what the Cowboys didn't do that well last year with Tony Pollard. So I think this year is going to be fun watching him.
Yeah, to your point, when Pollard was good with the Cowboys, it was when they had Elliott, because the Cowboys would use Elliott as their every down rusher, and then yes, Pollard would mix in. This year they didn't do that. They were like, okay, you're going to be our every down rusher, and it didn't work. As far as the system, you're right, it will be a new system. They fired Vrabel. And Brian Callahan took over. He was the OC for the Bengals the last 4 years. So it'll be a Bengals system. And Mixon was his running back there. So he was obviously strong in the receiving game. So I think they're going to utilize it well. It's just, is Levis going to be their guy or not? But yeah, so even if it's not, I think they'll still be competitive, like a 7-1 team, even if Levis struggles. And potentially a playoff team if he plays well. We'll move on now to the Colts. They have done a lot with re-signing guys. They also brought in Joe Flacco to be the backup quarterback for Anthony Richardson, who hopefully will be healthy this season. Ricky, what have you thought of their offseason?
Yeah, I like that Joe Flacco signing. Having him come in and not develop, but be with Anthony Richardson.
Yeah, be a mentor.
Yeah, be a mentor. That's going to be good. I think we've seen the potential that Anthony Richardson has the first four games he played. He was taking a lot of hits, but I think this year he's going to learn and figure out how to, you know, play in an NFL system and not get injured as much. So if he stays healthy, I really like the Colts. I like the Michael Pittman Jr. re-sign. I don't know. A lot of people didn't like that. I seen on Twitter they didn't really like it. I think he's a stud for sure. He's definitely a number one wide receiver.
Yeah, he's the key to unlocking Richardson right now.
Exactly. So, yeah, those two moves are good. Last year we seen promise with Gardner Minshew in the starting lineup. They were one catch away.
Yeah.
One foot more forward or one second more concentration for a first down.
Yeah, they would have been in the playoffs. So if AR stays healthy, well, they have Joe Flacco, so he was in the playoffs last year.
True. Yeah.
So, I mean, the Colts, I think they're going to be
part
good.
Two.
Yeah, a lot of these teams that we're talking about, they made really good moves.
Yes.
And it's going to be real competitive for sure.
Yeah, not much to say. You kind of said it all. I agree. I think Anthony Richardson was looking really good before he got hurt. So I'm excited to see him with all those re-signs. I agree with Pittman Jr. too. I think he's really good. And how different of a conversation would this entire show be if he catches that ball? Now we're talking about the Texans in a completely different light, and we're talking about the Colts in a completely different light.
Crazy.
That's why we love sports.
Yeah, so they've done a great job. They've really just been extending their guys, re-signing their guys, and then Flacco as the mentor, and they brought in a defensive lineman, Raekwon Davis, for 2 years. I like their offseason so far. It's really going to depend on how Richardson plays this year, because he only played, I think, 4 or 5 games last year. Flacco will definitely be there if they need him, but you want to see Richardson. He was your number 4 pick. You want to see how he can play. Is he going to be your franchise guy?
Yeah, I want to shout out the coaching for the Colts, too, because last year,
Shane Steichen.
Yeah, they were really – a lot of people coming into the draft weren't high on Anthony Richardson. And I understand, because his accuracy wasn't that good, but they were able to make him comfortable in the scheme, throwing short passes, whether that's screens, whether that's slants or whatever. They're making him real comfortable, and it made him look very well. So shout out to the Colts coaching staff for doing that.
Yeah, I think right now what they need another receiver opposite of Pittman.
Well, Josh Downs is also good.
He was really good.
He's going to be good.
I think they need like a first-round pick this year. I did an article for Clutch Points where I had them trading up to get one of the top three receivers. I think if they do that, that would really unlock Richardson, because he's a more of a rusher right now than in like short passes, like you were saying. But he has the arm strength to where he could go deep, but they don't have like the weapons. Like, Pittman's great, but defenses can kind of keen in on him right now because they don't have a guy outside. So I think that's going to be huge for them. But yeah, overall, I'm really happy with what they've done in the offseason. Now we'll move to the Browns, another AFC team. A lot of AFC teams have been doing good so far. So the Browns, they traded for Jerry Jeudy, signs Za'Darius Smith, Jameis Winston. So we'll start with Jalen. How have you viewed the Browns offseason so far?
Yeah, first of all, Jameis Winston as your QB, you never know how that's going to go. So it's hard to assess all the moves. I think Jerry Jeudy, we're still waiting for him, you know, to kind of take that next step that we were expecting from him out of Alabama. But with Jameis Winston, we know he's going to get him the ball, or he's going to try to get him the ball.
Well, I think Watson will start probably still.
Yes,
I think
yes.
Winston will be backup.
Totally forgot about Deshaun Watson.
Says a lot, because he's kind of forgettable right now. He's not playing a lot of games.
Yeah.
And he hasn't played well when he's been in.
Yeah. I mean, you pay a guy like that so much money after an injury, it's like, what are you gonna get? Not just an injury, too, that whole ordeal with, you know, the suspension he had to serve. And but they made some pretty solid additions. They've also made some pretty solid re-signings as well for key players on their line on both ends. And they were competitive last year just from that defense, that hounding defense and coaching.
And their defense has gotten better, too. Yeah. Jordan Hicks is going to be solid for them at linebacker.
Yeah, you can never count a team like that out who's, you know, got one of the top defenses. It doesn't matter what their offense looks like. But, yeah, that division, too, with now Russell Wilson being on the Steelers, too. Like we mentioned, Derrick Henry is on the Ravens. So all eyes are going to be on the AFC North.
I think they've kind of created, like, a new way to get your wide receiver core. Because Amari Cooper, I think, was a fifth-round pick they traded for him. Judy, I think, was a fifth and a sixth. And then Elijah Moore, they also traded, like, a late-round pick for him. So their top three receivers, they all traded just late-round picks to get those guys.
I didn't think about that.
They kind of just buy low on the receivers. And, like, Cooper's been great for them. Yeah, he's been good. Judy, former first-round pick, you're getting him for a fifth-round pick. Like, that's worth it.
Yeah.
And then Moore has been solid. He's just more of like a gadget guy, a third guy. So having Judy opposite of Cooper is going to be intriguing. I think if Watson or Winston, whoever ends up starting, plays well, he could finally break out.
Yeah. Ninjoku picked it up too later on.
Yes. Oh, my God. He's so good.
Nick Chubb will be coming back.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I completely forgot about Nick Chubb, too. He was just hurt all last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I like the moves. The moves are solid. It's not really too many moves. Just the Jameis Winston re-signing of a couple of their defensive players. The Jerry Jeudy situation, we've been saying he's supposed to be good for the past 5 years. So, I mean, hopefully the new team makes
it's going to be a better offensive scheme by far. So, hopefully. That should help him.
I hope so. But, yeah, I mean, the Browns are always competitive. They're going to be competitive whether I think Deshaun Watson is going to be injured or not. Because they have Jameis Winston and the team around him is good. But hopefully Deshaun Watson stays healthy. I mean, I miss the old Deshaun Watson that we've seen in Houston. And if he's playing like that this year, it's going to be another AFC team that's going to be tough to beat.
Yeah, he basically, like, had 2 years off of football pretty much, like one and a half. And he hasn't been able to find his game back yet. So hopefully this is the year. I think if it doesn't happen this year, then – they may cut him next offseason or try and trade him if anyone would want him. I don't think anyone would.
That whole situation is just scary. They broke the whole NFL market to get this dude, and it's not like
fully guaranteed after all his controversy, which is just crazy to think about. And he hasn't played well for them at all. It's been one of the worst signings. Like, Joe Flacco took that team to the playoffs.
Joe Flacco was throwing for 350 yards like it was nothing.
Yeah, we were looking at Deshaun Watson throw, and he was like, could only throw like 20 yards.
He was a cone.
Yeah. But the shoulder, I guess his shoulder injury, so we'll see what happens next year. But
I think it's his last year to prove it.
Definitely, yeah, for sure. It has to be, because last year he had a full season to prove himself. Okay, we'll give him the suspension, whatever, like, but this year is real, like, he needs to prove it.
I think it'll be like Russell Wilson if it doesn't pan out for him this year. Like, the Broncos released him early despite all the money. I think the Browns would do that next offseason if he doesn't play well.
The thing about Russ is he had a solid season last year.
Yes, he did.
I think just the overall situation in Denver was it was just time for him to go.
They needed something new.
Yeah. If Deshaun Watson plays like Russell Wilson last year,
I think they'd keep him.
Yeah, they'll definitely keep him, and they'll be a way better team than the Broncos were. Like, they'll definitely be in the playoffs.
They have way better defense, more weapons.
Yeah, so if he plays solid, then he should be fine.
That's a good
he
point.
Has to play totally horrible to, like, for them to be like, all right, yeah, we'll just pay you this guaranteed money, get off our team, please.
Worst thing for him is if he gets hurt again, or if he starts off the year bad, they put in Winston and Winston goes and gets him to the playoffs. That's the worst case scenario for Watson. Now we'll move on to the Chargers, because we are in the LA market. We want to talk about one of the LA teams. They haven't done much. They were in a really bad salary cap spot. So to get under the cap, they released Eric Kendricks. They released Mike Williams, which was kind of a shocker on his big deal. They will have to carry over his cap hit, which is, I think, $32 million over the next 2 years. But they were able to keep both pass rushers, which a lot of people didn't think they were. A lot of people thought they might have to trade both. Joey Bosa and Khalil Mack both restructured their contracts to stay with the Chargers. So what do you think about the Chargers just getting under the cap? What do you think they should do moving forward? They don't have a lot of money to spend. Do you think they should just wait till the draft? They have a high pick. Or do you think they should look for more low-key signings like Gus Edwards?
Yeah, the Gus Edwards move was big for them, just to get, you know, a guy, a name there at running back after getting rid of Eckler. Like you said, keeping Mack and Bosa is going to be big for that already talent-stacked defense with Derwin James in the backfield, or secondary, excuse me. And going back to a couple episodes where we were talking about Harbaugh, again, almost from the top now to the product on the field, it's kind of coming together, right? And they're doing, like you said, with their just horrible lack of money where they were looking at going into this offseason, they've done a really good job of damage control, and not even necessarily controlling damage, but also putting them in a position to compete in that AFC West. That's going to be a gauntlet now with the Raiders trying to contend and the defending champs back-to-back.
The Mike Williams release, it was sad. I think for me personally, I really like Mike Williams. When he's on the field, he's good, but he's usually not on the field.
Yeah.
So that's the reason why. I understand it for sure, but I think he's going to get looked at somewhere else, definitely.
The Chargers are even interested in bringing him back if it's cheaper, but Williams is testing the market as a whole.
Yeah. He's probably not going to come back.
I don't think
always,
he's going to come back.
They always say that. They always say that, but they never come back. Other than that, yeah, the Gus Edwards is good. I like the Will Disley. I like him going there, you know, Seahawks, former Seahawks, so like that. But overall, their team was good to begin with.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it had to do with coaching.
And health is big for them.
I think they could honestly beat every team if they're healthy, or any team any given Sunday if they're healthy. And before the last season, we had them, well, probably not all of us, but a couple seasons ago, we had them, you know, with Kansas City and – good
catching
teams,
up,
you know?
With them.
Yeah. And then they made a total fall off last year, which was sad to see. But hopefully new coaching, new guys around Justin Herbert, they'll be able to go back to how they were playing a couple years ago, 3 years ago, when they were, you know, seen as
a contender.
A contender, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I think the way they got under the cap was surprising, because I personally was looking at it and I was like, okay, they're going to have to trade one of their pass rushers. And a lot of people were saying they were going to trade both. So to keep both of those guys and only have to release Mike Williams, who, like you said, he's very talented, but he just can't stay healthy. So to get rid of that big contract, you get under the cap and you're able to restructure to keep Bosa and Mack. That's huge for Harbaugh's first year. And I like the Gus Edwards signing and Will Disley. Just the under-the-radar moves they're making. I think if they can make a couple more of those on their defense or offensive line, and then in the draft get one of the top weapons, either a tight end or receiver, because I think they're the fifth pick. I think the first three picks are probably quarterbacks right now. Definitely. So they could get, like, maybe a Marvin Harrison to go opposite of Keenan Allen. Or Brock Bowers, the tight end. Like, they could get one of the top offensive weapons, and that can really help Herbert and Harbaugh in their first year. Do you guys have anything else to add on the Chargers, or should we move on?
I think we're good.
Yeah, that's all right.
We'll move on to T. Higgins real quick, and then we'll wrap it up. He got franchise tagged by the Bengals, but he requested a trade. Are there any teams you view him as a good fit for?
I mean, he's a good wide receiver. I personally don't see any team as of now trading for him. I think he's going to end up staying on the Bengals. It's just, I feel like the Bengals are going to ask a lot for him, and they already franchise tagged him. It's one of those situations where it's like, we don't need to trade you. We don't need to do nothing. Like, you're going to play. If you don't play,
well, sometimes they just sit out. That's the problem. So tag and trades do happen. Like the Packers, when they traded Davante Adams, they tagged him, and then a few weeks later, they traded him to the Raiders.
I just don't see any trade possibilities right now, like on the top of my head. There probably is some, but I mean, we talked about that, the Justin Jefferson with the two first rounds.
Yeah, reporters have been putting it out. So Justin Jefferson, the Vikings are adamant they're not going to trade him, but that would be interesting. Jefferson to the Bengals and then sending T. Higgins to the Vikings along with picks. You'd have Chase, Burrow, and Jefferson back together. They played at LSU. I mean, that offense is so hard to stop at that point. But how much capital are you willing to give up? Yeah. And then you're going to have to pay all
three
of those
guys. It'll be expensive for sure.
I think the Jets would be interesting.
Ooh.
Because they have Garrett Wilson. They needed a wide receiver, too. Rodgers is coming back.
Yeah,
unless he becomes the vice president.
Oh.
Probably not going to happen.
That would be the most Jets thing.
That would be so crazy.
Wait, you can't play and be the president? That would be tough.
I don't think you could do both. No, if you're vice president, you have
probably
to
probably get 0 hours of sleep.
Yeah.
That would be so cool, though.
I don't think they'd let him do that. Like, if you're vice president, you gotta be there like at all times. You can't be like, "Oh, sorry, I got a football game."
It's my day job.
Yeah. It could be like the NFL or the MLB draft, how they be drafting the NFL players, but they just never play for the MLB team. It could be something.
There you go.
I don't know.
Zach Wilson, look, you're starting again this year. What happened, Aaron? He's running. He's vice president.
Nah, Mr. Robert would probably definitely quit his job if that ends up happening.
Yeah. No. But yeah, I think Jets overall would be a good team for T. Higgins, assuming Rodgers is there.
Who would you trade though? Like, what would be the trade?
I think it would be a pick. I don't think it would necessarily be a player. When tag trades, like franchise tag trades, happen, it's usually for picks. Like when the Packers traded Davante Adams, I don't think we got a player from the Raiders. I think it was just your second.
Picks and money, probably.
Yeah. Yeah, cash. It was picks and money, I'm pretty sure. So I think it would be something like that. It would just be, okay, we're going to get you another weapon.
Yeah, especially for a guy like that who requests a trade.
Yeah, because he wants out. But would the Bengals want to go to another AFC team? Yeah. They might be like, oh, we're only trading in the NFC. So that's where it gets
complicated. I mean, they could trade him. I was like, if they're asking for a second round or something and some money or whatever, then I see it. I just don't know. I mean, because if he leaves for picks, are they like going to be competitive next year? Because now they're losing a wide receiver.
I think in that case, they'd probably try and re-sign Tyler Boyd or another wide receiver on the market. Yeah, but they replaced him with Zach Moss. So they're like still trying to compete. They're just trying to get a little cheaper, I think. So that's where I could see like they trade Higgins because he's asking for, okay, if you're going to keep me on the team, then I want like $25 million a year. And next year you have to pay Ja'Marr Chase.
Yes.
So it's like how much can you commit to two wide receivers plus Burrow is already on his big contract. It's the same problem as if they traded for Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, it's going to be.
So it's a tough situation. Yeah. Like, you want him back because he's been a great weapon, but if he won't play on the franchise tag, then you have to move him for something.
Yeah.
But that'll be interesting to monitor. We're going to wrap it up for the day and class dismissed.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you for listening to the Sports Report Podcast. Be sure to check out our Instagram at the Sports Report Pod for more content and to never miss an episode. We'll see you next time.
Score!